Frade. I'm John DeMaster with USA Radio News. Get breaking news on the web at usaradio.com.
Good morning, this is Tony, and this is Some Things About Money. Today's weather in Flemington is 70 degrees. It's beautiful out there. Sunny with a high near 78 later today. Northwest wind around 7 miles per hour. Mostly clear with a low around 52. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calmer in the evening. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, sunny with a high near 83. Calm wind becoming northwest around 5 miles in the afternoon. And then Wednesday evening, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday night, another chance of showers. Or Thursday day, rather, another chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Calm wind becoming east around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation 40%. And again, Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of showers 50%. It is now 11 o'clock. It's Some Things About Money. And here's Joe Patton.
Well, good morning, Sonny. You are listening to Some Things About Money, and I just want to thank everybody for tuning in on this absolutely gorgeous day. You know, there's so much good weather out there, and I know each and every one of you are really anxious to get out there and enjoy it. And if you do, just remember, do some shopping, spend some money in Hunterdon County, because, quite frankly, small businesses are the backbone here in Hunterdon. Also, we have a graduation coming up. Schools are letting the students go, finally, after 4 years of fun and frolic. I know Tracy from our office is looking forward to her daughter's graduation tomorrow, organizing a large party, looking to have a good time, her and all of her friends. So we want to give our sympathy to Tracy, who's going to have to herd a whole bunch of teenagers. I can't imagine that being fun. But besides that, herding, kind of like a political term these days, isn't it? Where you've got to deal with all of the supporters of the Clinton camp and the Sanders camp and the Trump camp. And, you know, there's this giant war of words going on out there that, quite frankly, is driving me up a wall because, on the one hand, I'm looking at the actual results of, I don't know how many years of Hillary Clinton being in the public light and various jobs. She does have a fabulous resume in terms of the number of jobs. I'm not quite sure accomplishments go along with the number. And then you have Donald Trump, who has, let's say, redefined the English language in terms of the words that he's using in his campaign, appealing to, I guess, the lowest denominator in our American culture. But at least, you know, people are judging him on what he's saying and not necessarily on his resume, although one does have to wonder a little bit about Trump University. Probably not the one I'd want to go to. But that would, I imagine, all go away if he just came up with about 5 graduates of the university who's actually made money. That would probably shut down the left-wing media on that topic. And unfortunately for Hillary, it's not her words so much that gets her into trouble, but you know, her deeds over her many years of, I'll use the phrase, I'm not quite sure it's accurate, sort of an oxymoron, public service. But that being said, talking about public service, you know, we have some stuff coming up here in Hunterdon County. We have a June Card Club Mixer taking place at Unity Bank, and that's, you know, for small business people, primarily chamber members who are looking to go out and network. It is tomorrow, June 16th. Thursday, not tomorrow, the day after. What am I looking at? And it is sponsored by Unity Bank at Unity Bank in Clinton, starting at 5:30 and going until 7:30. It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, the big draw will be the Blizzard of Dollars money machine. So, you know, I like to watch people go crazy trying to scoop up as many pieces of paper with numbers on them as humanly possible. And one does have to wonder how many more years that will be available until we go to biometrics, you know, for direct deductions out of our bank accounts as opposed to using evil, dirty germ-infested paper money. So that's coming up, and encourage, you know, the chamber members and those who would like to investigate what a chamber membership would be. You should show up and have a good time. And then, of course, you know, we have other things going on. You know, Leadership Huntington is in the process of putting the next session together. So if you would like to develop your leadership skills and maybe meet key business owners and get that education, whether it be for business or nonprofit, while you're learning so much more about Huntington County, I do encourage you to call the Chamber office at 908-782-7115 and learn more about it. Of course, my partner, Michelle Heide, Certified Financial Planner at Patton Heide & Associates, was one of the graduates from one of the first Leadership Huntington programs. And I do have to tell you, it's amazing how much she knows about what's going on in the county, and led her to more of a participation in different groups. So she's currently leading the Women's Business Leadership Forum, and she's treasurer for the Chamber of Commerce and president of a Rotary chapter in Huntington, Horizon Rotary, which is an internet group. So it does introduce you to a lot of people that you might be interested in meeting. And if you are a business owner or you happen to have people who are working in your business, that would be a good fit for the leadership program. I do encourage you to give the chamber a call, again, at 908-782-7115. Tony, the markets haven't been cooperating very much with us lately. I've noticed that. You know, taking a quick look at where we are on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we're currently down about 38 points, 0.2%. The S&P 500 is down 5.28%. The NASDAQ down a little bit over 30 points, 0.63%. Europe, you know, Brexit fears continue to weigh on the European markets. The FTSE's down 1.6, the DAX is down 1.26, the CAC 40 down over 2%. And oil, well, oil is falling a little bit on the same concern. The Brexit threat continues to rattle the oil markets, and I'm sure the German 10-year sovereign bond yield dropping negative for the first time hasn't helped all that much. But oil prices are down 69 cents a barrel to $48.19 per barrel, down 1.41%. Gold, on the other hand, had dipped, came back, sort of lingering near a four-week high ahead of the Fed meeting. Gold is currently at $12.89.10. That's up $2.20 an ounce. And the 10-year Treasury rising on Brexit concerns. Yield is now 1.601%. So that's the current update. You know, today we're going to talk about a number of things, what's been going on in Europe and Asia. Of course, we always do that. And, you know, some of the things that could lead to some major changes in the international indices. There was also an interesting article that I picked up and went through that was in Investment News this week. And it talked about, you know, the Department of Labor fiduciary standard, but one that really caught my eye was FINRA, which is, you know, the regulatory agency that governs licensees in the securities industry. And they're going to target variable annuities, which originally was a target of the Department of Labor in their fiduciary role, but through a lot of industry pushback and, I'll say, hand-wringing and threats, or maybe it had something to do with, contributions to the appropriate parties, they took annuities off the table as an unsuitable investment for retirement rollovers. But they still are going to pay attention to it and want to make sure that people sign off on disclosure and confirming that that recommendation is truly in the best interest of the soon-to-be retiree. But FINRA, they're going to come at it from a different angle. I know annuity products have appeared on their watch list for some time now, and for good cause. And you know, we'll take some time and get into the meat of their argument as it relates to consumers, primarily retirees and soon-to-be retired citizens, who may want to get more information about how these things work vis-a-vis costs, restrictions, the internal meat and potatoes of all of the different writers that come with various costs in order to bring to fruition all of those promises that the salespeople are making to you. So the regulators aren't too happy with that product, nor are they happy with things like non-traded REITs for similar reasons, how to price them properly, how to evaluate values on a regular basis, the fact that they're illiquid, the costs, and the commissions. You know, it's amazing how the regulators are now targeting those products that have the most restrictions, the most complexities, that also pay the highest compensation to the salespeople. You think there's any correlation to that, Tony? I could be wrong. I'm sure that they're only recommended because they happen to be the absolute best alternative for all of those people who are looking for the features and benefits from each one of those investments. But as usual, I could be wrong. But I guess one of the big things that we should make a brief comment on, and it's just a horrible thing, what happened in Orlando, with those deaths. And, one of the first things that I noticed after getting over the initial shock was the reaction by our politicians, who immediately went out there and played the gun card. I was somewhat embarrassed when I saw a video this morning of what happened in the House of Representatives after Speaker Ryan asked for a moment of silence right after the moment, rather than go through regular order and continue on with House business. People decided to politicize it, knowing that it was an inappropriate forum, breaking policy and procedure. The same thing happened in the social media that was being used by Senator Schumer and a number of other prominent Democratic leaders, who immediately went on to blame the guns. I don't know. I thought it was somebody who was radicalized and who had committed or dedicated his act to ISIS. I don't know. I'm just going to think that people who want to perform a terrorist act are going to find ways. I was surprised they used an AR-15 instead of bombs, but I guess, it was an easier opportunity. The FBI, of course, had interviewed this person a couple of times and was paying attention to their connections or communications with known terrorists, and somehow kind of dropped him off the radar screen. But immediately we go to the Second Amendment and guns, and don't go to the actual problem, which is terrorism and our country's reaction or lack of proper reaction to do what it is necessary to protect our citizens. And I think sometimes people forget that the primary responsibility of the President of the United States is to keep the country and citizens safe from foreign actions that would be detrimental to the health and well-being of those citizens. And the first reaction here is to go after the Second Amendment rights. Now, I understand the emotional reaction. It was a automatic or semi-automatic weapon. I'm not quite sure that was responsible for the majority of the fatalities. But, we live in a different world. Culturally, things have changed significantly. You talk to people from out west who grew up in a different era where they were driving around in pickup trucks, and they still do, with loaded weapons and, the gun rack in the back window. And, people always talk about how everybody had guns, and they would bring guns to school. I mean, even, your most progressive of presidents, our first progressive president, Teddy Roosevelt, actually recommended that weapons use be taught in the classroom of every school. In fact, wanted gun ranges, because back in the day, there were just as many or more guns than there were citizens of this country. And we were diversified back then. We were a country of immigrants. People came from various cultures, but we didn't seem to have an issue with gun violence. So one has to wonder whether or not it's the guns that are the problem, or the policies that have been implemented in this country over the last maybe 30, 40, 50 years that have changed our culture. And you know, you've gone from a culture where guns were part of the landscape and it just wasn't a problem to one where the government's trying to engineer, I guess, gun ownership, gun safety, gun control. And one of the unintended consequences seems to be that, you know, you've got a lot more bad people with weapons than you have good. But, you know, what's also interesting is when you take a look at violent crime here in the state of New Jersey, other than Sussex County, every other county reported a decrease in violent crime at a time where gun sales and gun ownership are coming back to record levels. So one has to wonder if the fact that violent crime with the use of guns has dropped as the result of increased gun ownership by the good guys. So I guess when you kind of balance things out where, you know, a decade or so ago, you know, people, good people didn't have weapons, and mostly it was the bad guys who did. They were doing bad things to good people, but now the good people seem to have the ability to protect themselves. You have fewer bad people trying to do bad things to good people because the good people can protect themselves. So you have to wonder whether or not, you know, this argument is ever going to go away. Stop blaming the guns. Maybe start blaming your own government policies for the problems that we're running into these days. And if you want, you know, an example, the best example I can give you is what's going on in Chicago. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So, but anyway, we're going to come back and talk about money and money issues and regulatory stuff right after we finish with our first commercial breaks. Take it away, Tony.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner from Patton Heidi & Associates. We're located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey, in the Gibbard & Kiefer building. And you would know it's an attractive brick building on 31 with a big American flag out front next to the old barbecue place, which I recently found out is going to be turned into a steakhouse. So good for my cholesterol. I can't wait. So anyway, Tony and I keep going back and forth on these political conversations. She's asking about Donald Trump and, you know, the reports, people questioning why he came out the way he did. Of course, that was after responses from Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, and President Obama. But I guess the media wants to put him in the spotlight because, after all, they put the Donald in the spotlight for many, many years. And it's interesting, for all that I don't like about what he has to say and how he says it, and the fact that I grew up in a New York media market where it was, well, things Donald Trump all the time. It is interesting that he's being trashed for his stance on, you know, immigrants from parts of the world and countries that seem to be sending people over, whether it be here or in Europe, to do bad things to good people. And, you know, it just reminds me of the policy of America going as far back as I could read. But just use Franklin Roosevelt, for example, and the restrictions that his administration put up before, during, and after World War II as it related to European Christians and Jews, let alone people who were promoting Sharia law. He wasn't going to let any of those people in who they felt were part of groups that were looking to do harm to people in this country. And it is rather interesting that the party of Roosevelt, progressive as it is and as he was, would seem to ignore that part of their own history in going after Trump for basically saying, hey, look, you know, we can't vet these people. And if they're coming from a country where over 95% of the citizens are believers in Sharia law, well, that is kind of in conflict with the rights and the Constitution of the United States, which guarantees the rights for women and different groups, gays, lesbians, transgender folks. And maybe we shouldn't let them in if their entire life's ideology is in conflict with our own. We need to know who these people are and make sure that, you know, they're willing to assimilate into our culture and become part of the American fabric. And yes, we're a nation of immigrants. But again, where did the majority of these immigrants come from and at what time? And did they come here from a culture whose intent was to completely change ours or to do bad things to our own people? And as much as we like to talk about the type of people we are and at the accepting nature of Americans and how, you know, we love to bring people in who are in need, you have to remember that, again, the primary role of the president is to protect our nation and the citizens of our country from those who would do us harm. So opening up your borders to those people sort of borders on not just foolishness, but, you know, sort of extreme incompetence. You're violating the very oath that you took. So, you know, again, as much as I don't necessarily like the way Donald Trump says things, you know, the basic premise of we need to protect the country and we need to make sure that the people we bring in are people who are not looking to hurt us and who truly want to become part of the American fabric, I don't know that that's an evil message. I think what is more of an evil message is that let's bring anybody in who could be willing to harm us that we don't know anything about, and we'll just kind of roll the dice and take our chances. Can't imagine that's going to work well, you know, putting out the welcome mat for groups of people, many of whom might be coming here to do us harm. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I don't look at myself as a racist. I'm kind of pragmatic and a student of history. And it never seems to end well when you invite your enemies into your home, hoping that they'll sit down, share a meal, and have a rather intelligent, accepting conversation in dealing with your differences. I don't think history has taught us that that ever works well, as much as we wish it would. But, talking business. In addition to interest rate policies that drive short-term interest rates lower, central banks, including the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan, have been purchasing approximately $125 billion in assets every month to stimulate lending, lowering borrowing rates, and spur growth and inflation within the economies of Japan and the Eurozone. The buying has lowered bond yields in Europe and Japan to negative levels, sending a significant portion of the stimulus splashing over into other regions, including here in the U.S. To put the purchase in perspective, we look to Apple, the largest publicly traded company based on market capitalization. At current prices, the combined ECB and BOJ, that's Bank of Japan, could purchase nearly a quarter of Apple's market cap every month. That would leave the central banks owning the equivalent of nearly all of Apple after 4 months. And that reflects a massive shift of assets away from the public sector. The programs are relegated to primarily sovereign debt, so, you know, we use this solely for illustrative purposes. As a result, we believe these central bank purchases have lifted asset prices around the globe. While we see the current quantitative easing programs, we will likely be, well, they'll likely be well in place since 2017, but we point to an artificial sense of resiliency for investors that could persist this year and could lead to broad-based disruptions in future quarters as markets adapt to the discontinuation of incremental buying from central banks. We're seeing that here now. We are closely tracking central bank policies for anticipated impacts on markets and our asset allocation. So, you know, should this, let's say, the evolution of policy impact the positions that we have in our office, we're going to communicate with our clients about our ongoing beliefs in terms of the changes that are necessary. And at Ameriprise, our Global Asset Allocation Committee puts out a number of different publications on a regular basis that we use in our practice for the benefit of our clients. So we will be sharing more of that information weekly here on Some Things About Money. So what's going on in the markets right now? Boy, this is a lot of fun looking at the beginning of these summer doldrums. We'll have to see if the go in May and sell in May and go away thing is working. Here we are in June, and it may have gotten off to a slow start, but it does appear that it's catching up to the global markets. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down triple digits, down 118, almost 119 points, or almost 0.7%. The S&P 500 currently down 13.47, or 0.6%. And the NASDAQ, that's the big loser so far, at 4,813.75. That's down almost 35 points, or over 0.7%. Europe continues to slide into Brexit fears, and, you know, ahead of the next Fed meeting, FTSE down 1.58%, the DAX down 1.24%, the CAC 40 down 1.98%. And oil still down 62 cents a barrel to 48.26. Gold up $1.50, 12.88.40. And the 10-year treasury continues to be higher with the yield down to 1.6027%. So, amazing German 10-year sovereign bond yields turning negative for the first time. And you kind of wonder, you know, why on earth would anybody think that the U.S. Fed would be in such a rush to raise interest rates when rates around the globe continue to fall? Our unemployment numbers are, let's just say, anemic at best. Our job participation rate continues to fall. GDP estimates for the global economy were recently cut back again. And wages? Not going anywhere here in the U.S. I mean, the DOL rule for overtime and whatnot, I'm sure, is putting even more pressure on a lot of small businesses, you know, in terms of overtime for their full-time employees. But, and that's not a commentary on whether or not people deserve more money. It's a commentary on the impact on businesses that are still struggling over the last 8 years trying to recover from 2008. Of course, one of the reasons for the struggle is that central planning or government policies and Fed policies to manipulate the money supply and interest rates have really created a disincentive for financial institutions to lend money. Could you imagine if you were a director of a financial institution and you and the board and the management team sat around and said, gee, let's figure out a way to really encourage people to borrow money from us at record low interest rates, and we'll put that debt on our books for the next 30 years and basically not make any money. Because inflation alone will more than offset, you know, the anemic interest that we're earning on that debt. And, of course, the cost of additional regulation has to come into play in terms of the impact on our profitability for the ownership, which are vis-a-vis individuals, unions, pension plans from all over the country. They're not going to be able to generate a return because of those rates. And that just will continue the spiral of stagnation for an even greater extended period of time. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that when you look at it, you go, what are they talking about, higher interest rates? Why? Now, the only reasoning, quite frankly, could be if we don't raise rates, these people aren't going to make any money. And if they can't make money lending, they're not going to lend. And if there isn't capital out there for businesses to take for expansion, there won't be job creation. And if there isn't job creation, there's no upward pressure for wages. And if there's no upward pressure on wages, people can't buy more stuff. And there won't be more tax revenue. And how do we fund the entitlement programs? And how do people actually be able to afford a new house and the appliances and all of the other things that not only drive jobs and wages and tax revenues, but the economy? So maybe a little bit of an increase wouldn't be a bad thing. But if you're looking at jobs and you're looking at economic growth both here and overseas, I could certainly understand why nobody should be in any rush to raise interest rates and putting more pressure on an already burdened economy. That being said, it's time for our next break, and when we come back, we'll talk more things about money.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The ex-wife of the man responsible for the nation's deadliest mass shooting says he was gay. Omar Mateen killed 49 people, wounding more than 50 others at that nightclub in Orlando before SWAT officers killed him when they stormed the club early Sunday. A Brazilian TV station reporting that the woman believes he had homosexual tendencies and that the father had called him gay in her presence. Democrats cast their ballots in the final primary of the election season, which takes place in Washington, D.C.
The 2016 presidential primary season comes to an end today with a Democratic contest in Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton has already been declared the presumptive Democratic nominee, but rival Bernie Sanders is still campaigning. Sanders is under growing pressure to end his campaign. I'm Joe Gomez.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News. Get breaking news at usaradio.com.
Hey, business owners, what are you doing cash is tight, huh? Do you need funds but don't want to waste your time with the bank, filling out tons of paperwork and giving away your firstborn? Yeah, well, I have good news for you. All you gotta do is call NMC Business Funding Group. It's simple, fast, and 95% of all loans are approved. Bypass the bureaucracy and get the loan you need for expanding your business for any purpose, like new equipment, inventory expansion, cash flow, hey, even payroll. If you have an existing business, not a startup, call 800-279-7978. When you call, you'll quickly find out how you can get up to $1 million with no collateral, no upfront fees, and your credit rating is no problemo. Get the money you need in 2 to 3 days and approvals in 12 hours. Sweet. Call the NMC Business Funding Group now at 800-279-7978. Find out how you can get fast cash for your business. You can be approved in 12 hours, so call 800-279-7978. 800-279-7978.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:35 a.m. It's June 14th, Tuesday. Currently, it's 70 degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey. Today, we'll have a high near 78 with northwest winds around 7 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, around 52. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calmer in the evening. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 83. Calm wind becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday and Friday evening, more chances of showers with a high near 77 on Thursday and a high near 74 on Friday. This is Some Things About Money. Back to you, Joe.
And we are back, and thank you for tuning in to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, and that lovely voice is the voice of Tony Clark, Paraplanner in our practice located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. And if you have an idea, a topic that you would like to have us investigate and discuss, give us a call. Or if you'd like to come in and talk about a topic that's near and dear to you, and usually it revolves around retirement and what do I do with my 401k and all of this stuff about suitability and regulation and what's in my best interest and how does it work and what does it cost. We can cover all of those things for you. So give us a call, 908-713-6600, and we can set some time aside to have a conversation about you. I mentioned earlier, industry groups are having problems with the Department of Labor fiduciary standard. There was just a suit filed to stop the DOL fiduciary rule. And I don't understand. I really don't understand, Tony, because what's the rule all about? Well, in a nutshell, it's to, let's just say, enhance the amount of disclosure and awareness of what's in the best interest of you, the consumer. So right now, brokers, bankers, insurers, they only have to give you a cursory overview of a product if they feel as if, this will work for you. And they don't have to give you all the details about how it works. The inner workings, the meat and potatoes, the bones of it all, as far as how many years you have to hold on to it or what the internal costs are, what is it going to cost you on an annual basis. So if you take certain products, I always mention annuities because the regulators focus on them all the time. High commissions. In some cases, you could be paying somebody 10% up front just to buy a product. And once they have their money, of course, they don't have a lot of incentive to continue to provide you with the level of service that you would expect because under the law, they don't have to. In fact, they don't even have to go into the details about how the internal investments work. They'll give you a prospectus and you can go fishing through all of that. But I sincerely doubt that majority of folks take the time or would even know where to look in these things to come up with the information. And quite frankly, there's a lot of general catch-all headings that don't provide you with all the details, those analytics out there might want to see. So, and on top of that, there's the holding period, and many of them require that you hold them for 10 years before you take money, because if you do, the additional riders that you're paying for, which may or may not go up in cost depending on the financial backing and how the wellness, if you will, of the company providing you what the product happens to be. All of this could change on you. Your entire life could change. And if you don't know what you can and cannot do, they could really jump up and bite you as a product. So it's no small wonder that the regulators pay a lot of attention to them and are currently involved in making sure that those companies that sell these things really provide you with how much it costs up front, how much it's going to cost you for a rider, how much it's going to cost you on an ongoing basis, what you can and can't do as far as accessing your money, under what conditions, and making sure that you read the explanations that the salesperson provides you with, all of the information that they sign off on it, that you sign off on it. And quite frankly, these people are subject to an office appointment by the regulators to ensure that they're keeping notes that they did provide you with all this information, or bad things will happen to them. And we've seen a number of major fines, even before this rule is taking effect, incurred by many large financial firms. So, it's important that you get all of this information, and don't wait until 2017, 2018 before different parts of the rule are implemented before you should expect this. You should be expecting to get full and fair disclosure on everything today, because this is your money. This is money that you're going to need to fund all of the things that you've planned on doing, that you've dreamed about doing for the rest of your life. It's your life. It's not the salesperson's life. They don't have the same vested interest in your success that you do. So you need to take more control over the decision process that you're employing before you make those decisions. If you don't, shame on you, because the information's out there, and people have an obligation to answer all of your questions thoroughly and to show you where you can find the information that you need to make that informed decision. It's stuff that we do on a regular basis. We adhere to a fiduciary standard. And quite frankly, because we are fiduciaries, we rarely talk about those products that the FINRA regulators or the Department of Labor folks are warning against. Because there's a reason for that. So the fact that exceptions have been made simply means that they've come under pressure by rather rich, powerful groups to ease things up. Don't make us fully disclose everything. Don't make us get rid of products that you know are generally not in the best interest of the consumer. Let us sell this stuff. Nod, wink. We'll provide disclosure. Nod, wink. Everything will be done properly, nod, wink. Really? But we shall see. Anyway, U.S. futures are this morning. They were talking about lower to flat open. Boy, have we gotten them. Volatility, it's hit a five-month high. The VIX index, and the VIX, of course, is a measure of volatility, closed back up above 20 yesterday, and that was the first time that's happened since late February, and, marking the largest one-day spike since January. And, of course, in our opinion, the risk-off theme is largely to blame, as those Brexit concerns and central bank policy skepticism has risen quite a lot over the recent trading days. And it's interesting. That 40%-plus surge in the VIX index over the last two trading sessions was accompanied by the third smallest decline in the S&P 500 index for a two-day period. And when the VIX surges 30% or more, according to Bespoke Investment Group, it's something to pay attention to. Now, the S&P 500 index is lower by 1.7% over the last two trading days, and you could add to that today, that's on a price basis, indicated at least some resiliency in the risk-off environment. FOMC, likely on hold. Investors expect that the U.S. Federal Reserve is going to hold interest rates steady this week, and as they kick off their two-day Fed Open Market Committee policy meeting, and that's going to be today. The committee statement will be released on Wednesday per its usual course of action, and followed by a press conference from Chair Janet Yellen. markets expect just a 2% chance that the FOMC will raise interest rates tomorrow, and only an 18% probability that they're going to raise rates again in their July 27th meeting. Markets are going to focus on the dots this time around and look to see if committee members have pushed out the path for rate normalization. And you know, that's really following a weaker-than-expected employment report. Now, Chair Yellen's remarks on June 6th before the World Affairs Council did hint that July was still not written off for a rate hike. And at tomorrow's press conference, look for Yellen to focus on recent employment trends. Also, the committee's forecast revisions should demonstrate little change in GDP and jobless rate forecasts compared to their March meeting. However, inflation estimates could be revised higher due to higher oil prices. Yellen may also express that the committee is still on track for 2 interest rate hikes this year, of course, depending on the data. However, we believe the committee will have some heavy lifting to do if they want to raise interest rates more than 2 times this year. In theory, policymakers essentially only have 3 meetings to do so. Scheduled meetings to act include July 26th, 27th, September 20th and 21st, and December 13th and 14th. The November 1 and 2 meeting may be off the table as it could fall too close to the November elections to act. Interestingly, markets don't price in a better than 50-50 shot for an interest rate hike until the December meeting, which means investors currently believe the Fed may only raise interest rates 1 time this year. However, interest rate futures can change drastically and quickly, as we've seen over the last few weeks. Though longer term, the markets have been a better predictor of future interest rate hikes relative to Fed forecasts and committee jawboning. So, you know, the markets always typically have a better track on the direction of the Fed. So, Tony, I think we're going to jump into our last break. And when we come back, we may talk a little bit about the FINRA target of variable annuities. You're listening to Some Things About Money.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back, and you continue to listen to Some Things About Money with Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi & Associates at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. And again, if you'd like to contact us, 908-713-6600 is the number. So, FINRA, they are targeting variable annuities, are they not? Why? Well, officials are citing products complexity and the fact they're marketed to retirees. Now, the term variable annuities may not appear on this year's list of FINRA examination priorities, but that doesn't mean the broker-dealer regulator is taking it easy on the sector. Two financial industry regulatory authority enforcement officials have emphasized at an insurance industry conference that the products, which offer lifetime guaranteed income to investors, but can be complicated and expensive, remain in the crosshairs. And that's a good thing. Variable annuities are just very frequently involved in our cases, according to Russ Ryan. And he is FINRA Senior Vice President and Deputy Chief of Enforcement. And he said that last Tuesday at an Insured Retirement Institute conference in Washington. Last Monday, James Day, FINRA Associate Vice President and Enforcement Chief Counsel, told an IRI audience that variable annuities occupy a nexus that FINRA targets. They are at the sweet spot of complex products marketed to retirees and people about to retirement, Mr. Day said. Both FINRA officials, well, in this case, both highlighted the organization's recent enforcement action against MetLife. FINRA hit the large insurer with a record $25 million penalty for misleading variable annuity sales. Ah! FINRA, well, they found that MetLife Financial Advisors made some misrepresentations and omissions of fact. How often? Well, how about in 72% of the 35,500 applications the firm approved between 2009 and 2014 to replace clients' existing variable annuities with new ones. Now, the new products, well, they were touted as less expensive and more beneficial. But clients would have been better off keeping their existing investments, according to FINRA. Most of the problems, well, they centered on the training and supervision of the advisors involved in the sales, and that was according to FINRA officials. The same deficiencies are showing up in other cases, too. Now, Mr. Ryan encouraged the IRI audience to be more vigilant and a little bit more skeptical in reviewing these transactions. Brian Rubin, a partner at Sutherland, Ashbill, and Brennan, pointed out that FINRA did not charge MetLife with fraud or any unsuitable sales. I guess FINRA just got them to agree to hand over all of those millions of dollars. Well, you know, he's not sure what kind of lessons you can take away from this other than to be careful about replacements and to have good policies and procedures in place. Another area where FINRA will be cracking down is on L-share variable annuities, and these are products that offer increased liquidity and a shorter surrender penalty period of about 3 years instead of seven. And, you know, FINRA's been bringing some L-share cases to the fore. It'll be interesting to see how many and how they shake out. But at this point, you know, we just keep looking at these things going on and on and on. L-shares also have long-term riders, in terms of, FINRA wants to institute some heightened procedures around. Mark Quinn, who's the Director of Regulatory Affairs at Cetera Financial Group, also warned the IRA conference participants about the FINRA crackdown on L-shares. So it's kind of like the conference warning that the sheriff's coming and you better hide all of the illegal contraband. Just Interesting. I mean, they feel insulted that the variable products that they are selling are actually under review by government regulators and are being held to be complex and expensive and not explained properly, and they sort of resent the fact that they're being called out on it. So I really feel bad for them. You know, they have to deal with all of this government oversight that is really in the best interest of the customers that they're selling this stuff to. And, you know, I guess it would be so much better if the consumer wasn't aware of the cost and the restrictions and the required time frame for holding period and the commissions that they're paying. I can certainly understand why the organization is upset with that because, you know, if you have to tell the customer all of these things, what are the odds that they're actually going to buy it? Really? So, yeah, it's the kind of stuff that makes you shake your head and wonder. I feel so bad for these people who are trying to protect these products and, you know, trying to maintain, that shroud of secrecy over them so the consumers just don't know all this stuff. Perfectly reasonable to me, isn't it to you? Well, maybe not. So that's what the regulators are doing, and as you know, I'm not a huge proponent of more government regulation, but every once in a while, they happen to get it right, and I think in this case, they are getting it right. So as we come to the end of the show, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 103, the S&P down 10.87, the NASDAQ down 26.57. Europe didn't do so well today. You know, they closed well under. The FTSE down 2, the DAX down 1.43%, the CAC 40 down 2.29%. Yuck. Oil negative, down 46 cents a barrel to 48.42. Gold down $2.20, so things just seem to be getting weaker. 10-year Treasury, that was higher, but the yield down to 1.0061. Everybody's kind of waiting around on Brexit and oil prices and the Fed, and you should be too. And, we did get back to a high, although it took us over a year to get there on the S&P 500. Just know that we have been in a trading range for quite a while, moving flat. Good time to build up cash because eventually we always get the next correction. And don't know when, don't know how deep, how long, but it's always a good opportunity to add quality to your portfolio positions and not regret it when you don't, because after all, when you think back in your lifetime about all of the ups and downs and what's going on in the world and the effect on markets both here and overseas, the one constant has been that the market indices recover and have gone higher. And the largest regret that people have wasn't so much that there was volatility, but the fact that they didn't take advantage of it. So don't be a nervous Nelly. Don't let fear cloud your judgment when it comes to your financial well-being. Remember that fear, nothing more than false emotions appearing real. Take advantage of other people's upset, other people's irrational actions when it comes to investments, and you and Warren Buffett will have something in common. Doing the right thing at the right price. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Tony Clark. You've been listening to Some Things About Money. You have a fabulous day today. Get out there, shop, buy a lot, but make sure you buy it in Hunterdon and buy often. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The ex-wife of the man responsible for the nation's deadliest mass shooting says he was gay. Omar Mateen killed 49 people, wounding more than 50 others at that nightclub in Orlando before SWAT officers killed him when they stormed the club early Sunday. A Brazilian TV station reporting that the woman believes he had homosexual tendencies and that the father had called him gay in her presence. Democrats cast their ballots in the final primary of the election season, which takes place in Washington, D.C.
The 2016 presidential primary season comes to an end today with a Democratic contest in Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton has already been declared the presumptive Democratic nominee, but her rival Bernie Sanders is still campaigning. Sanders is under growing pressure to end his campaign. I'm Joe Gomez.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News. Get breaking news at usaradio.com.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods. No MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and benefits.